As always, after the Bears play the following morning, we engage in conversation with former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, who joins us right now on the Home Run In Hotline. Home Run In Pizza, always a big hit for the holidays. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Good to be with you again.
Good to have you on. And, you know, we've been asked a couple of times already by listeners, callers and texters to comment on the conservative nature with which the Bears approached the final 8 minutes of the game. And neither Spiegel nor I have a quarrel with the conservative giving the ball to the running back approach. I think that's the right thing to do to minimize the mistake factor with a quarterback who's been getting you beat. What do you think? Should they open it up a little bit more in the fourth quarter?
No, guys, I think they, you know, from a coaching standpoint, it was beautifully managed. I mean, here you got Haney. He only had, what, 19 attempts yesterday? So you weren't going to let Caleb Haney beat you. He didn't have any turnovers. You go down the stretch, and you're not going to get burned again like you got burned out at Oakland, you know, instead of running the ball in the red zone or what they should have done out there. And I thought they had the approach where they weren't going to throw it, run the football three times. And I thought from a coaching standpoint, yeah, it's not sexy. It's very conservative. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it should have won the game. That game plan should have won the game for the Bears when it was all said and done. So I've got no problem with it. You know, I thought the coaches did a nice job. They knew it was going to be a grinder. They know points accumulating points is a problem, and they managed everything up until their player not getting out of bounds.
There was all sorts of scary plays that Caleb Haney had made. You don't want to give him a chance to make some more. It's sad. It's a little pathetic, but it's true. I didn't have an issue with it either. Now, if on either of the Marion plays, the fumble in overtime or when he goes out of bounds, if he just falls down in the field of play on either one of them, Bears probably win the game. Now, on the running out of bounds, we've been faulting him. You have to fault him. Is there anybody else? I'm asking you about two perspectives. Is the play call needlessly going wide, or did Marion Barber bring it wide when he didn't have to, even bringing the sidelines into play? And that's one thing. And then two, is it Caleb Haney's job or is it a quarterback's job to remind everybody to stay in bounds at that point?
Well, there's probably a lot going through Caleb Haney's head. You would like him to give the running backs a reminder in the huddle. But, guys, this goes back to training camp. You know, the first time you show up at training camp and you're installing four-minute offense, we're trying to wind down the clock. It's called four-minute offense in the National Football League. The first thing in your playbook, running backs stay in bounds. Obviously, the first thing is quarterback-center exchange. The second point is you must stay in bounds. It's the first thing that's taught when you're installing a four-minute offense. Marion Barber got coached that down in Dallas, and I got to believe the Bears coached him when he arrived here at the Chicago Bears training camp. So we can make all the excuses in the world. Marion Barber's a seven-year player. Yeah, I'd like the coaches to remind him. I'd like Caleb Haney to remind him. But at the end of the day, that's the situation.
Yeah.
You're in four-minute offense. He's got to know better. That cannot happen. It's like four-minute offense, the ultimate no-no, what was committed yesterday.
Our football discussion with Jim Miller brought to you by Heil & Heil Insurance with offices in Skokie and in Naperville. One insurance agency for all of your insurance needs. We'll get back to some telephone calls and some text messages in about 15 or 20 minutes. Anytime you want to jump in, 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Texter 670-11 in the feedback zone brought to you by Xfinity. Your thoughts on how Tebow operated in the fourth quarter and what it was about the Broncos' approach that got them to such high levels of success. A struggle until they got there, but 15 out of 20 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and, you know, the Bears did. They went to a soft cover, too. You know, it's basically, yeah, could you call the prevent? Yeah, because it's a soft cover, too. But, again, they just wanted to, hey, fine, throw the underneath stuff. We're going to rally up, make the tackle, and hopefully keep the clock running. I don't like the fact that they got a couple of sideline throws.
Yes.
In that situation. That can't happen, but they are playing a soft cover, too. And I thought even that's conservative, because the last thing you wanted to do was get aggressive, and lo and behold, Demaryius Thomas is now catching a post route over the top, the one that he dropped earlier. So I've got no problem with the defensive calls, even by Lovie Smith. Fine. Give up. They get a cheap score. It's junk yardage, basically, is what it was. And you give up the score. You get the onside kick. Now it's up to you. It's up to you to execute your four-minute offense, and the Bears failed to do that.
I'd be all right with an occasional send an extra guy, because your front four weren't getting it.
They did.
They were rotating, not often enough.
No, Urlacher almost got there. there and absolutely planted him on the field goal drive. Second and 10, yeah. with about 30 seconds left to go, and he hits Willis. That's the one where he hits him on the sideline. So every once in a while, they did send an extra person.
Yeah, you know, again, I don't have any problem with that. I think they're playing the percentages at that point. Let's play it safe. Let's play it conservative. Fine, they get a cheap score. There's no doubt about that. Here's the reality of the deal. There's 1:55 on the clock when Marion Barber runs out of bounds. You know, so if they run the next play, 45 seconds go off. I take that back. They run a play. If he stays in bounds, 45 seconds goes off the clock. Now there's a minute 10, basically a minute 15, maybe at the most, left on the clock. They've got one more play to run it or even take a knee. Even if they take a knee, it takes it down to like 30 seconds, and they're punting at that point. 30 seconds left,
yeah.
and they're punting. Is what the reality of the situation was. So that's the ball game right there, fellas.
Hey, Jim. I went back and watched it again and again, trying to figure out if we should sit here and blame the defensive coaches and blame Lovey for shifting what the defense is doing in the final 3.5-4 minutes or not. I know we just talked about it, but it's like the football reasons that Tebow time happens, or everybody gets tired on the D-line, you know, the Broncos go to a no huddle when that defense right. is already tired from having been beaten up all game. He plays better. He plays looser. He's more confident. There's more ad-lib in his game. It's that part is just true. He made some very good plays. But the defense does allow more underneath, and his receivers step up and make plays. This is what they do every week. They suck maybe for three quarters, then they make plays late. So how much should we fault the Bears defensive coaches for what happens there at the end of the game?
I honestly, I don't think you can. I think, you know, it's like you said, yeah, you give him credit because he's making the throws. But again, that is a very, very safe defense. You know, there wasn't a lot of pressure on Tim Tebow in those situations to force some bad throws. And yeah, it had a lot to do with, you know, the exerted energy of rushing in a 2-minute offense, 2-minute type of drill. But when you're unscathed as a quarterback, I mean, it's easy to hit the check down in a cover two. That's the only thing that was open, and that's really all he took is the safe throws, because that's what you're doing. You're just taking what the defense is giving you, and it's easy, quite honestly, for a quarterback in that situation. But that's their philosophy. That's their, you know, almost been their formula for success when you look at Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos. And, you know, they just want to keep the game close. If they keep the game close, they'll have the ability to do that. And, you know, the guy has showed up when the game's on the line. So you do give Tim Tebow credit from that standpoint.
Couple of things, Jim, in the Bears locker room after the game that bothered me. Marion Barber continued to not speak with reporters, and I think he owes it to fans to say something.
Absolutely. You want to know what I have a problem with too, Mac, is like even – so fine, the Broncos tied up, even in the situation where he fumbled. I mean, maybe he sees daylight there. He's got vision, and he sees the hole open up, and he thinks he's going to bust a big one. Bottom line is, he's got to hit the hole with two hands on the ball. Even in that situation, he didn't know the situation. The situation is to protect the ball, because the only thing the Broncos have left is strip fumbling you, Marion Barber. He's got to have two hands on the ball and run with a purpose and know that that's the only bad thing that can happen in that situation. Again, is that the coach is not telling him? Is that Caleb Haney not telling him? Marion Barber is too far in his career mm-hmm. to not know that situation.
Yeah, and he had nothing to say about it, and Urlacher gave no credit to Tebow. That's just poor sportsmanship as far as I'm concerned. It lacks class. It's low rent to say I think he's a great running back or whatever it was he said. I've heard it a few times today. Day. Give the kid some credit. He played a fine fourth quarter and beat your ass.
Well, you know, he did. They showed up when it mattered for the Denver Broncos, but I think for the most, you know, from that standpoint, yeah, I'd like Brian to be more respectful, but that's a frustrated guy right there. I think that was a tough pill to swallow. And I know Brian's an emotional guy, and he can say some things that maybe he regrets and not give credit where credit is due, because the Broncos did win the game, but that is a frustrated person. That's a frustrated locker room. That's a frustrated coaching staff right now, because even with all the issues at quarterback, Caleb Haney did enough to win the game. The Bears did enough to win the game. It was a mistake on their standpoint that the Bears lost it. And I think defensively, they shut down that Bronco offense. They really did all day. And Brian was just frustrated, and I think he aired his frustration.
Hey Jim, Caleb has regressed. I know you just said he did enough to win the game, and if Marion makes either of those plays, I guess it's a win, and you look at it. But he also, boy, missing Marion on a tiny little outlet pass that would have been a huge, huge play at that point. And there were other ones, too. He just looks very uncomfortable still, and I feel like he's regressed in watching him over these 2 weeks.
Well, he's 12-19. Yesterday, I had him that he missed two throws. The second series, or actually, no, it was the third series, because the second series where Marion Barber missed that blitz, he missed the block, or they should have made a gap call up at the line of scrimmage from the offensive line. So that negated that third down situation. I thought he missed Johnny Knox on the third series of the game. He's got to hit that in cut. And then you mentioned the outlet throw to Marion Barber, wide open. I mean, he's got a problem with wide open receivers, and I've mentioned that some of those times, sometimes that those are the hardest throws, but he's got to hit that. So realistically, he should have been 14 of 19. I mean, that's good enough to win. It's good enough to win, honestly. But if he converts those two third downs, you know, things are a lot brighter for the Chicago Bears. But there's no question he's got to make those throws. But again, the coaches managed, they minimized his opportunities to make mistakes. You can't do any more than what the coaches did. The guy's 12-19, and they were in position to win at the end of the game. So I like Caleb. I thought he's got to put on his big boy pants. I really believe that. I wrote about that on CSNChicago.com before the game, because the big boy pants are just like what we just talked about, that last series in the huddle. Hey, Marion Barber, be the CEO of the offense. Hey, guys, four-minute offense, here's the situation. All right, guys, we're going to go sweep left on one, ready, break. Hey, Marion, stay in bounds, bro. You got it? All right, let's go. Let's get it done. Those are the type of things you got to do when you put your big boy pants on, and Caleb Haney's definitely got to do that.
Jim, I was surprised to hear the broadcasters yesterday reference that Cutler was throwing the ball around on the field before the game. Do you know anything about that, or when we can expect to see him next? Probably Bourbonnais, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I just think it's going to be very difficult for him to come back. One, that's one thing to, you know, the type of throws. I'm sure it's just a soft toss. You know, he's not putting any steam on it. His grip can't be all that good. Mm-hmm. He's probably got to be guiding the football at this point rather than, you know, working it to really snapping it off and doing the things he needs to do to throw. And it's going to take time. I mean, that's encouraging that he's throwing already, but quite honestly, that means nothing to me. I think he's got easily another 3 or 4 weeks before he's even remotely can get out there and even be effective. Let's put it that way. I mean, he might not even be effective. He might be throwing and getting a game 4 weeks from now if they do get into the playoffs, but how effective is he going to be? And I really don't see him being that effective.
Mills, always good. Thanks a bunch. We'll talk next Monday.
You got it, guys.
Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, good old number 15 from Comcast SportsNet Sirius Radio, the Michigan State Spartans Radio Network, and our show, the days after the Bears play.